We talked about divine fellowship last week because we had our picnic last week. But prior to that, we had done two sessions, 2 weeks, two Sundays, on spiritual guidance, spiritual guidance. And so if you didn't receive a CD, they're free of charge. They're back there. Make sure you go ahead and pick those up. All of our CDs are free just to be a blessing to you so you can kind of catch up to where we're at. We don't have time to review everything that we covered. But we talked about how that there is supernatural guidance for the believer. Now, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, the Scripture says here, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father." Now, what does that word Abba mean? It's actually in the Greek. It's New Testament was written in Greek. You know, it's where we get our word daddy. You know, I know in our for our kids, you know, it's the first two words they probably said was mama and dada. You know what I'm saying? And we were thrilled that they had a vocabulary. Amen. And but God says, being his children, he says, we have this cry inside of us, Abba, Father. You see, to the world, he's God, but to us, he's Father. Amen. Do you ever notice that in the religious world, you know, people talk about God? They change their voice. You know, God in his mysterious ways, you know. Well, that, you know, that's not the Father that we have. Our Father is not just Father, but he's also Dad. And he will become, for some people, a father that maybe someone never had. The Bible says he becomes a father to the fatherless. Praise God. And one thing about God's grace is what you didn't get in your first birth, you can get in your second birth. So that overcompensates for all the other mess and the junk and excuses that people give. Well, you know, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. You know, I was born from this family and we were unfortunate, you know, and our family tree was nothing but a bunch of nuts. You know what I'm saying? And so where's that leave me? Well, listen, you're in a new family. You're in a new family. And you have a new father. And your nature has been changed and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So regardless of your start, you can finish strong. You know that. And more often than not, people sometimes tend to give excuses. Well, you know, well, if I just had this happen and I had that happen, then I would be in a different position. Now, well, listen, we've all had unfortunate things happen in our lives, haven't we? Haven't we? But the grace of God can make up all the difference for stuff that we lacked and things that fell behind in our lives, things that didn't take place in our lives. But notice it says here that we have this Spirit in us crying, Abba, Father. Now notice verse 16. The Spirit itself, or literally himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now how do you know you're a child of God? Verse 16 says the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, we're talking about spiritual guidance, okay? Spiritual guidance. Most of you here, how many of you have a GPS or you had one in your possession? Your car might have has one. Or how many of you ever use one? Raise your hand, GPS. I mean, and that's pretty awesome, isn't it? I mean, we're living in it's like George Jetson live here. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a cell phone. I mean, that stuff when we were kids, you saw in cartoons, that seems like 300 years from now. But we're walking in that stuff right now. But a GPS system will locate you where you're at, but it also gets you to your destiny. Even if you take a wrong turn, that thing will reroute it and to get you to your destination. Now, the Holy Spirit has been placed inside of us to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us into every area of life. How many of you know that? And he wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. Now, we have to know how he does that. Because we, you know, these things don't just come automatically. We have to learn how do we follow the Holy Spirit? How do we follow his leadings? And so notice in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness that with our spirit that we are the children of God. The number one way, now God can use angels to guide us, okay? But how many of you know that's the exception and not the norm? We get the impression sometimes that, you know, you read the book of Acts, that every morning they woke up, you know, and had breakfast there, an angel stood, said, do this or do that. It was only a couple of times in their lives that this thing happened. But the primary way that God leads all of his children is by the inward witness. Say inward witness. Okay. Verse 16 says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, how many of you are children of God here? You know you're a child of God. Okay. Did Jesus appear to you and tell you that you are now a child of God? Did someone prophesy over you and said you are now a child of God? No. But something inside you bore witness, and there was a peace. That's another word for saying there was a peace that was on the inside of you that said, I know I'm a child of God. Now, I remember as a 16-year-old when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, as a 16-year-old teenager in the month of May, 1976. So if you do the math, you'll figure out how old I am, okay? There came a peace on the inside of me that I never had up to that point. And I could take it to the spot, praise God. Once in a while, I'll go back to that spot, and I'll stand there, and I'll think, it happened here many, many years ago, you know. But I remember that inward peace that came into me. It was like a ton was lifted off my shoulders, you know. And I was able to receive this peace, you know. And there was no one there. There's no angel that appeared to me and said, you are now a child of God, Keith. But I had this inward peace that I knew that I was right with God. Okay? I knew I was forgiven. Well, that same inward witness, that same inward peace that you have at the new birth. Now, if you don't have that witness, if a person doesn't have that witness, they can get that witness by making sure that they're born again, make sure they're saved. Amen? See, one of the things we have to be careful with, very careful with, is this, is that just because you're born in America doesn't mean you're a Christian. Some people have that impression. You know, God doesn't, let me say it like this, God doesn't have any grandchildren. See, Grandma could have been a Pentecostal Holy Ghost preacher. But you still have to receive Jesus for yourself. Okay? So just don't assume that you came from a line of Pentecostal preachers, that you're next in line, you're automatic, you have your gateway into heaven. No, every person has to make a decision. Every person has to make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. We taught that to our kids when they were very young. Amen? And they were very, very young when they made Jesus the Lord of their lives and got filled with the Holy Spirit when they were 5 and 6 years old. Started speaking with other tongues when they were 5 and 6 years old. That's all they've known their whole life. Praise God. Well, the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we're the children of God. This is the number one way that God leads and guides all of His children. Now, we saw that there's two things about the will of God. First of all, there's the general will of God. We talked about this in previous sessions here. The general will of God, which is found in Scripture. Okay? For example, how do I know whether or not it's God's will to save me? It's in the Word. How do I know it's God's will to heal me? It's in the Word. How do I know it's God's will to be filled with the Spirit? It's in the Word. See, there's the general will of God, and these things are found in the Scripture, and we can locate that and say, I know that's God's Word, because God's Word, notice this, that God's Word and God's will is one and the same. Amen. Okay? That's why the Apostle Paul said this. He said this, he says, though we or an angel from heaven come unto you and preach another gospel than that which you received, let him be accursed. And he repeated that same statement. He says, I say unto you again, though we or an angel from heaven come and preach another gospel, let him be accursed. In other words, let me put it to you like this. If an angel appears, a supernatural thing, something happens, and he tells you something other than what the Scripture says, reject it. Are you with me? You see, just because something is supernatural doesn't mean it's God. Ooh, did you see what happened over there? You know, those icons in that church started weeping. Water started coming out of their eyes. That must be a sign from God. Not necessarily. Did you see that person ministering? Oil came dripping out of their hands. Oh, that must be the Holy Ghost. Okay? But see, we have to line everything up with the Word of God. Brother Hagin talked about this. He said there was, back in his day when he was, way many, many years ago, he said that there was a minister, actually, that was in the hospital, had basically a terminal disease. And he said that there stood by him one morning, and he was in the hospital, nobody was there, and he said, this shining being that was shining light came and stood at the foot of his bed. And he figured it was an angel or Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And this angel, so-called angel, said that it wasn't God's will to heal him, okay? And he disappeared, all right? Well, you know, if you know your Bible well enough, that couldn't be an angel of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, don't marvel, the devil himself can appear as an angel of light, okay? How do you know the difference? Because when it's a true angel, what they say is going to line up with the Word of God. What they say is going to line up with the Scripture. If it doesn't line up with the Scripture, then we got to chuck it out the back door.
Amen.
Well, that minister went on to say, you know, he said, Word of God, God, Word, whatever. He says, this was a supernatural thing that happened to me, and I believe it was God. You know what? He died. Now, thank God he went to heaven. He went to heaven, but he was out of the will of God. Are you with me? Because what he heard didn't line up with the Scriptures. See, God's will and God's Word are one and the same. Okay? Always remember that. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would turn over there real quick here. Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to take our time here this morning. If we don't get finished, praise God, we've got next week. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And build upon this foundation. All right. So we have the general will of God. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through, I made a mistake there, through 19. 14 through 19. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and Christ shall, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Notice that. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Notice that phrase right there, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, there's a lot of good stuff in there, isn't there? Well, verse 17 says we're not to be unwise, but we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. So we have the general will of God, which is the Scriptures, the Word of God. But then what about things like this? And this is what we're going to get into today, is what about, like, all right, so I've got two job opportunities, but I can't find a Scripture that tells me I'm to go down to this company and apply there and so forth and so on, you know. Other things like, well, it's time to buy a car, so I'm not sure which kind of car to buy. So is there a Scripture or a verse that will tell me which kind of car to buy? Well, I can find one Scripture, you know. In Acts, it says they're all in one place and one accord. Honda. Well, that's a little loose translation of that, isn't it? But what do you do, you know, when it comes to, like, your career and who you're going to marry, all these kind of things? I mean, there's all kind of decisions that we have to make, correct, in this life, all right? Now, let me just say this, because God's mercy is there for all of us, because there's not one of us that have hit it 100% of the time. Just like in baseball, there's a certain percentage, you know, and they're missing more than they're hitting, all right? But if they're a certain percentage, like, they're good, we'll give them millions of dollars. You know, if they're batting 500 or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But they're missing more than they're hitting, right? Who was it? Babe Ruth. He struck out more times than he did hit home runs. He was not only the home run king, he was the strikeout king too as well. No one talks about that, though. So, you know, in our endeavor to seek after God and get His purpose and His plan and His will for our lives, yes, we're going to make mistakes, but that's okay. I mean, when you started driving your car and you hit a curb or two and did something wrong, did you quit driving? No, you just got back in there and just did it. Are you right? Well, when it comes to following the Holy Ghost and things like that, just because we make a mistake, see, the Lord would rather have you try and make a mistake than to stay in the boat and not do anything at all. And Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the water. He sank, but the rest of them didn't even attempt. They didn't even get on the water. I would rather do what Peter did. All right? So that's how we learn. There's a phrase that you might have heard from time to time that says you cannot steer a parked car. Okay? And in life, it's like we have to get behind the wheel. And we have to start moving in a certain direction. And the Holy Spirit can, Bible says, bears witness with our spirit. And He'll check us at times if we're about to do the wrong thing. Now, let me talk to you about this inward witness, because this is not spectacular. However, it is supernatural. The inward witness is supernatural. It's just as if the Lord appeared to you, took you by the hand and said, come on, we're going to take a walk. I'm going to take you down here. We're going to go do this. We're going to do that. The inward witness is just as supernatural. It may not be spectacular, but it is supernatural. The inward witness will cause you to make right deals. The inward witness will take you to the best place. The inward witness will protect you from accidents. Okay? Let me give you a short example of something that happened to me a number of years ago. Back in, to be exact, this is in the summer of 1986. And I had just gone to buy new tires for my little red Chevette that I had. Y'all remember those cars? Aren't you glad they don't make them anymore? I bought this new, brand new Chevette, you know, and the price was right at the time, you know, and just a little, I mean, it was like a Fred Flintstone car, you know what I mean, just real small, you know. And every, a brand new car, and every time it rained, the passenger, her side, will get soaked. It was like a puddle of water down there, because the wind, there's some kind of defect in the windshield area. I mean, I took it there probably 15 different times to have them fix it. They never did fix it, you know. I was so glad to see that car go. Say, see you later. Praise God. But anyway, I went to get new tires on this car one day, and I was coming back, and I was kind of in a hurry, and I was coming back to my house, and I was at this certain intersection in the neighborhood that I still live in, and it was a blind intersection, and it was and I was at the red light. I was the first one in line, so there was people behind me, and it was like this, okay? And it was a blind intersection, and I couldn't see to the left of me or to the right of me. I could just see the light. Well, the light turned green. And generally speaking, I'm ready to get on that thing and just get going. But something, not an audible voice, it was so subtle. It was so subtle. Something inside me just said, wait, wait. It wasn't a voice. It was just something within me. It was just like a knowing, just hold off, just wait. So I hesitated. Well, you could see the people behind me getting, you know, let's go, come on. And this is before they had texting and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And so I hesitated just for, I want to say, 2 or 3 seconds. And when I did, a car had come through. It was coming down the hill. So he was going, I want to say, about 45 miles per hour. This is a 25-mile-an-hour zone. And so he was obviously in a, he or she, I don't know who it was, but it was in a hurry. So they thought they could run it, you know, and they ran through it. They went through a red light, you know, and just took off, you know. And I stood there and I thought, if I would have put the gas pedal on at that moment, I would have got T-boned for sure. I could have been either seriously injured or killed. All right? And I thought, this all happened in a couple of split seconds. I'm thinking, I could have easily just thrown that off. I could have easily just said, that was just me thinking that. See, sometimes God's, most of the time, God's leading, and I'll show you a scripture here this morning, and that it's the still small voice. Sometimes it's so subtle, you think it's just you. Because we think, well, if God speaks to us, it's going to be this thundering voice, you know, and the, even the leaves on the tree are going to shake. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, He can speak that way, but more often than not, He will speak a still small voice inside of us, that supernatural guidance, that inward witness that will say, you know, just hold off on this, you know. Well, I had this inward witness just to hesitate. And when I hesitated, that car came through, And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, Lord, thank you that you showed me to wait there. Because, I mean, and that's why things happen sometimes. See, I don't understand why that guy was a preacher and this tragic accident happened to him or her or whatever, you know. And some people scratch their heads and say, I don't understand it. They're a man or woman of God. But listen, preachers too have to listen. Preachers have to listen to their spirits. Because we can miss it too. All right? So don't ever question the will of God if something like that happens and someone even dies in a situation like that and you begin to question what the Word of God says about divine protection. Let me tell you something. God is always speaking. Amen? God is always speaking. And we have to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Amen? And, here's what happened. About a year later, it was in the wintertime. I was at that exact same light. And this time it was Lynn and I. We were in the car. And it was night. It was dark out. We were coming from her parents to visit them. And we were at the same intersection. This time I was the second one in line. And there was a person in front of us. Was that a guy or a girl? I can't remember. Okay. And the light turned green. She pulled out and the exact same thing happened. Her car came down and T-boned that car. Spun that car around. And he had one of these older cars that was like, metal was like that thick on it, you know. How many of them don't make things like that anymore, you know? They get like tin foil now, you know. Yeah. And this guy had evidently hit this girl. Instead of stopping, he just took off. It was a hit and run type situation. Well, we jumped out of the car and went over and ministered. She was just baffled, you know. And her car was just demolished. The whole side of it was. And I thought about that, and I thought, that could have been me just that same year. That could have been me in that situation. See, the inward witness is supernatural, and that inward witness has been sent to protect you. Now, can I just go a little bit further with that? All right? Do you mind if I do that a little bit? Well, if you don't, that's too bad. But don't always try to figure out. When God tells you to do something, don't try to figure out why He's telling you this. If God says, don't go down to this place, don't sit there and say, okay, Lord, now why? Because see, sometimes you'll try to be like, you know, the cartoon Curious George, right? And you'll try to figure everything out. Think, you know, especially if you're an analytical person and you got to know every little detail, okay? Forget it. You don't need to know every single little detail about things. All you have to do is say, God said, don't do it. Okay, that's fine with me. I may not understand it till I get over on the other side of glory and understand why. But if He doesn't show you, that's okay. All right? So don't try to reason everything out. Like, why would God tell me not to do that? You know what I'm saying? Someone gives you a free ticket to go to a place or something, and it costs lots of money and stuff like that, you know, and someone gave you a free ticket to go to this whatever, you know, and man, your intention is, I'm going. But if you get an inward witness that says, don't go, listen to that inward witness. All right? There was I don't know how many years it's been now, probably at least 20 or so, but there was a flight, Don would remember, there was an aircraft that crashed right over here in Hopewell. What number was that? That was Flight 427. Which airlines was that?
US Air.
How many remember when that happened? And I have a minister's friend of mine. His brother was supposed to be on that plane coming out of Chicago. Okay? And they thought he died because he was scheduled to be on that particular 427 on that flight. Well, you know, obviously they were devastated until they got a phone call from him. Said, I'm still here. What happened? He said, I don't know. Something inside me just said, wait for the next plane.
Praise God.
It wasn't an audible voice. Wasn't spectacular. An angel didn't appear to him. But something on the inside of him just said, just get the next plane. We'll get home an hour or two later. It's no big deal, you know. Well, guess what? If he hadn't listened to that inward witness, he would have went to heaven. He was a believer, obviously. All right? And someone would say, oh, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand. They were such a good Christian. Why? Why did that happen to them? Listen, you have to listen to your spirit.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, there may be times young people, especially you get in a car and you're ready to get in a car with someone and the Holy Ghost says, don't go with them. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You got to listen to your spirit. All right? I know people that in my day, when I was growing up, you know, the people that got in cars with the wrong people and ended up flipping the car, killing everybody in the car. And, but, you know, God is faithful to show you and protect you. Well, I remember way back in the day, you know, Lynn and I had a good friend of ours, and we were traveling in North Carolina on our way to the beach, a beach vacation, you know. And it was in the middle of the night. We pulled one of those all-night drives type thing to save money, you know. The things you do when you're young is just kind of, you know what I mean. It's not really wise, you know. One time I drove back because I was engaged to Lynn, and I wanted to see her, and she left to come back from Tulsa to Pittsburgh, you know, back in 82. And I was still working my job until I completed it. And so she came home before me. And I thought, you know, this is back when the speed limit was 55. Okay. And and from Tulsa to Pittsburgh, Shane, you how far forward? 1,000 miles or whatever, you know? I drove the night through. And it was the stupidest thing I ever did. I drove straight through. It took me like 22 hours, something like that, you know? And there was tornadoes blowing out there in Missouri and everything. And I didn't care. I just wanted to get back and see her, you know. But the things that you do, you know. And then she was upset. Well, I didn't want to talk to her when I got back home. She wanted to talk. I said, I want to see my bed. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I'm going all over the place here. But the Spirit of God will bear witness with you, your spirit. He will show you things to come, okay? And how many of you ever here have had just a hand show? You've had the inward witness talk to you at times, okay? Oh, I'm telling you, the Bible says that He's the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you to profit and lead you by the way that you should go. Well, this scripture here in Ephesians says that we're not to be unwise, but we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. Go quickly over to 1 John because we're running out of time here. But 1 John chapter 5, we saw this last time we were here 2 weeks ago. The general will of God says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. So the general will of God right here said, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of Him if we ask anything according to His will. Well, okay, so how do you know what His will is? You find it in the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Say, well, I'm not real sure, Brother Keith, if it's God's will to heal me or not. All right? Well, find some scriptures that promise you God's will to heal you in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons, not the only reason, that we have healing school. Is because God wants you to be healed of whatever infirmity that you have. He wants you healed. He wants you restored. He wants you delivered. He wants you set free. God doesn't get any glory out of you being sick or broke, okay? But He does get glory when you walk in divine health. He does get glory, amen, when you walk in divine wisdom and prosperity, because that's what God has promised for you. Thank you, Lord. He said, this is the confidence, I like that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we have the petitions we desired of Him. So when you pray the Word of God, you can be assured all the time, every single time, that you're praying in line with God's Word. Now, if you would, go over to the Gospel of John, St. John chapter 10. St. John chapter 10. So we talked about general guidance, okay, through the Word of God. Listen, folks, whatever it is that you're praying for, you know, if you have a financial need, find out what the Scripture says about that. If you have a physical need in your body, find out what the Scripture says about that. All right? Because when you find Scripture for what you're asking for, then you have a solid foundation to build your faith upon. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. When you don't know the Word, when you don't have the Word of God on any given subject, basically we're walking in darkness. We really don't know. All right? See, I am so confident that it's God's will to save people because I've read so many scriptures on that. When I come across someone that's open and ready to receive, I don't have to pray and say, oh, Lord, is it your will to save this guy right here? I already know it's God's will to save him. I've done the same thing in regard to divine healing, okay? Now, sometimes people have a harder time receiving, you mean God's will to heal every person on this earth? Absolutely, 100%. And why do so many people sick and die early? Because there's conditions that have to be met. Are there people in hell today? Well, if somebody died without receiving Christ, would that change your mind regarding God's will to save someone else? You say, well, Joe so-and-so down the street, you know, they rejected Christ. They went to hell, you know. So I'm not going to witness to any more people anymore. No, you wouldn't do that because you know it's God's will. They just rejected the plan that God had for them in that area. All right? And there are people that reject God's plan for salvation. There's people that reject God's plan for divine healing. And there's a whole lot of people that reject God's plan for divine prosperity in the earth. People think wealth is wrong. Wealth is not wrong. If wealth is wrong, if it's wrong to have money, God's the biggest sinner in the world. Because his streets are paved with gold. That's God's pavement. You ladies got some gold earrings? You're wearing pavement. That's God's asphalt. All right? That the pillars in heaven are pure pearl. Someone says, wow, the size of that oyster. No, God doesn't need an oyster to produce a pearl. Okay? An oyster as big as this building right here. You know what I'm saying? But God can produce something because that's who he is. And God, when we understand what God's will is on any subject, it's easier to say, okay, I'll take that. All right? Now, if I didn't see it in the Word of God, I couldn't believe that. Okay? All right. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit's, the specific will of God. Okay, as you can see up here. John 10, verse 27. Here we go. Here's Jesus talking here, and he says, my sheep. Everybody say, bah. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. All right, now, he's using this illustration here. That sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow his voice. Look at John 10, verse 4 and 5. It says this, he putteth forth his own sheep and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him and they know this. Look at this, they know his voice. Mm-hmm. Say, I know his voice.
I know his voice.
And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him and they will not, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, we can see right here, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So what we need to do is we need to start confessing this. Let's just do that right now. What do you say? Yeah. Say, I am his sheep.
I am his sheep.
I hear his voice.
I hear his voice.
And a stranger's voice.
And a stranger's voice.
I'm not going to follow.
I'm not going to follow.
Okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. There have been times that I've been going to buy something, you know, getting ready to purchase something. And this just shows me how much God is intimately acquainted and interested in every little detail of your life. You know, God wants you to save money. Do you know that? But you don't have to beat your brains out trying to get this coupon and that thing and everything else, you know, to just naturally speaking. But God can get you to, he can get deals to you that are just supernaturally good. After all, God is Jewish. Amen. All right? And he can get supernatural deals to you. And there have been times I'd be wanting to buy something. I'd want it real bad. I'd say, I want to get that. And something in me just checked me and said, no, just wait. Yeah, your flesh sometimes is like a little baby. It's like, I want it right now. Give me that thing. There's only one left. No, there isn't. There's some in the back room. You just don't see it. But pressure will try to get you to make decisions sometimes, okay? Here's where we have to be really careful. And but if you have a check inside your heart, something's just kind of scratching you and said, just hold off. God has something better else in mind. And there have been times I've waited on that thing, and a couple weeks later, that thing went down about 40%. And I'm like, ooh, I'm glad I waited on that thing. Okay? But sometimes your flesh, it's like a little baby sometimes. It just wants to jump on everything and say, I want that right now, bless God. Okay? But see, the Holy Spirit is interested in even the minute details of your life. Right? I've said this many, many times before. You'll hear it again today. But when I first met my wife, you know, before we were even married, and in fact, she would pray over parking spaces at a mall or something like that, you know. And back in those days, I thought, God, I didn't say it, but I thought it. Because, you know, you don't want to get in trouble with your wife, you know what I'm saying? But she would pray over parking spaces. And I'm thinking, all right, just waste your time and do that. But what I noticed was every time she'd pray for a close parking space, you know, not in the handicap section, but she would get one up close. Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you provide a parking space. I'm thinking, okay, all right. I just went along. But you know what? Every single time God would hear it. Here comes a guy pulling out in almost the front spot, you know. And I thought, well, there's more to this than what I realized. Amen. See, my thinking was, God, you're so busy running the universe. You got all this stuff going on. Surely you don't really care about a close parking space. Wrong. God wants to be, listen to me really carefully. He wants to be intimately acquainted with you and work with you in every aspect of your life. Amen. Well, yeah, I don't know why it is, but sometimes we think that, oh, God is only interested in those big decisions in our lives, and He is. But what about the daily routine things? What about, you know, the thing that you have to deal with that might seem so small to you? God is interested in those things in your life. See, that's when God gets really exciting, because He becomes your father then. Not just your father, but your daddy. It's like, all right, God, what are we going to do today? All right? Amen? And so it becomes like a cool thing, because you're driving down the road, you're going to work, and then you're talking to the Lord about these little things. And what I found out is He gets involved in even those little minute details of your life. That's how intimate God is. Folks, I believe today that God wants to take us to the next level. Listen to me really carefully. That God wants to take us to the next level of intimacy with Him.
Yes.
The next level of intimacy with Him in this life. And not just to be like 20% committed to Him. You know what I mean? Like, well, you know what I'm trying to say? That God wants us, He wants to walk through life with us in every area. I mean, every single area. I don't even have enough time to tell you how many times through the years we prayed about things and committed things to the Lord, and God would come through in certain areas. You know what I mean? And it just baffles me sometimes how intimately God wants to get involved with you. Maybe, I don't know, for some reason sometimes I think we correlate a lot of things from the natural and we take it into the spiritual realm. And sometimes maybe, let's just say a person grew up in a home that they didn't have a close relationship with their parents. Okay? Some things happened. Maybe there was a split up or something like that. And so maybe you didn't have a relationship or a very limited relationship with your dad or whatever, you know? And sometimes we can take that same situation that happened there in the natural, and we can come over here in our walk with God, and we think, you know, they weren't really interested in me, so that must be the way God feels towards me. Not so at all. Okay? Now, granted, every parent should model the gospel in the house, but that doesn't always happen, right? But the beautiful thing about it is that He will become a father to you that you never had. And He will become, the Bible says, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You say, well, Keith, who's your best friend? Well, first of all, let's talk about God. All right, in the natural, she's sitting right there. That's my best friend right there. And I got my kids. Hallelujah. But in this, first of all, and first and foremost, my best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without Him, I wouldn't have anything else. I'm telling you, everything I have today came as a result of listening to the inward witness. Okay? Keith would not be standing here today if it wasn't for the inward witness. Keith wouldn't be married to this lovely girl if it wasn't for the inward witness. None of the stuff that I have, nothing, would be here today. It almost frightens me to see where I would have been had I not listened to that. But I'm telling you, godliness is profitable. God, the Bible says that godliness is profitable. And when you walk with the Father and you walk with Him and you talk with Him and fellowship with Him, He can share things with you that'll just blow your mind away. Now, I shouldn't use that terminology. That's... My sheep hear my voice. Say, I'm His sheep.
I'm His sheep.
And I hear His voice.
Now,
wrapping this up, you know, back in the... As a matter of fact, to this day, over in the Far East, you know, I mean, it's almost like in some places, it's like things never change. It's the same way it was 2,000 years ago. And like the Bedouins and things like that, those people over in the Far East, over near Israel and so forth, they, it's like going back in time. I've never been there, but I know the people that have been there. So it's like literally going back 2,000-4,000 years, like Abraham. Got their camels and everything else, you know. And they're living in tents and all this kind of stuff, you know. And to this day, they've got shepherds over there in the Far East. And there was a minister that actually went over there and proved this out, that this what Jesus said about my sheep hear my voice is absolutely the truth, and a stranger they will not follow. See, every shepherd has, you know, they could have anywhere up to from 50 on up, I mean, tons of different sheep. And that those sheep are with that shepherd 24/7. And that shepherd has a unique voice that only that sheep, those bunch of sheep, will respond to. Because they have a keen sense of hearing, and they hear. And by the way, sheep are the only animals that can't exist on their own. We're His sheep. We can't do it on our own. And the sheep look for the shepherd for green pastures, but also protection. And the shepherd protects them. And Jesus Christ is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Y'all heard that before? And, if somebody else, some schmo gets in there and he tries to fake, you know, that he's the leader of the new sheep. I'm the leader now. Come on, sheep. They're not even going to turn their heads to listen to him because they won't respond to a stranger's voice. But you know what? When the true shepherd comes in there and he speaks to them, man, they follow his commands. Hallelujah. And this is what Jesus was saying. He says, my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger. They're not going to follow. I just got two more scriptures. If you would, turn over to 1 Kings. Chapter 19 here. 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is talking about Elijah. I love this scripture right here. And Elijah. With this thought in mind that it's the number one way that God leads all His children is by the inward witness. Do you want to know how to get so frustrated you can't hardly stand it? Do you want to know how to do that? All right, I'll tell you how. Quit listening to the inward witness. You will become highly frustrated and irritable. Okay? Because when you stop listening to the inward witness and you stop listening to that peace on the inside of you, then you're going to be the one in control of your life, okay? Now, God, you know, God understand. I mean, we need to plan. We need to do things. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But we can take planning to the next level where we don't leave room for the Holy Ghost to come in, all right? Like, for example, I got my notes up here this morning, you know, like I always do. And And this a basic outline of what I want to communicate today. But, you know, we have a deal, and it's been this way for many, many years now. If the Lord wants to interject something else, then bye-bye to the notes. It's been nice seeing you. Bye. I'm coming over here. And I'm going to take a little side journey here to communicate what the Holy Ghost wants me to say. What is that? That's not the inward voice. That's not an angel. That's the inward witness. The inward witness talks to me all. It's always. You begin to get into a rhythm, a flow, just like riding a bicycle. You don't even think about it. You just keep pedaling. You keep moving forward. And so it is with the inward witness. And as you're going, you listen. Now stop and think about this for a minute. You remember, who was it? The prophet Samuel. And you remember, he was in the temple. His mother dedicated him to the Lord at a young age. He was just a young child. And here he is in the temple, and Eli, the high priest, he's been there a long time. Except Eli's really, he's really botched things up in his family. You know, he's not disciplined his kids. His two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were rebellious. He never, ever corrected them. I mean, they're having relations with prostitutes at the temple. I mean, there's all kind of despicable type of stuff that's going on here. And judgment was coming to Eli because he never took the time to discipline his children. Well, here's little young Samuel. He's just a young boy, and he's in the temple. And here's what happened to him. He hears this voice in the middle of the night. He's laying down to go to bed, you know. Just read his stories or something. Went down and laid to bed, you know, and he heard his name called out, Samuel. Well, he jumped up. He thought Eli was calling him. So he ran in to talk to Eli. He says, here I am. What do you want? And, you know, Eli's like, I didn't call you. So he goes, go back to bed. He goes back, lays down. A few minutes later, Samuel. He jumps up, runs into Eli's bedroom again, says, what do you want, sir? He said, I didn't call you. And finally, after the second time, Eli perceived that the Lord was trying to talk to Samuel. And he said this. He told Samuel, he says, next time you hear your name called out, he says, here am I, Lord. What do you want? I'm paraphrasing. What do you want from me? And so on the third time, here comes the voice, Samuel. And he woke up this time. Instead of running to Eli, he said, Lord, what is it? And so the Lord began to talk to him. And the first thing he communicated with Samuel was the judgment that was coming to Eli's household. That wasn't a fun thing to go and tell Eli that. That's the last thing you'd want to do. Did the Lord speak to you, Samuel? Yeah, he did. What did he tell you? You don't want to know. It's going to be a bad day in your house. Okay? But judgment did come because he never corrected his children. Okay? How many of you know we have a responsibility to correct our children? Okay? I didn't say child abuse, but I'm saying we have a responsibility to correct. Anyway, 1 Kings 19, verse 11 and 12. Are you ready? And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount of the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent or tore the mountains, broken pieces in the rocks of the Lord, before the Lord. Notice this, but the Lord was not in the wind. Sounds like a tornado. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. See, the insurance industry calls that an act of God. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big old oak tree falls on your car, smushes that thing. I mean, it's like a pancake, you know. They call that an act of God. As if God's up there, push that tree over. And it says, look at verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after that fire, notice this, a still, small voice. Say that, still, small voice. Okay? When we get into this in the next few weeks here, we're going to talk about the connection between praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, gets you in a position. This is one advantage, the major advantage that you and I have over people, Christians, that are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's why we don't need to be around people that are downplaying the Holy Ghost. Okay? Oh, that tongue stuff, we don't need that. That was for the apostles. No, you need it today. Okay? But when you pray in other tongues, and you pray, I talked about this in our leadership meeting last month. But when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you're already on Spirit channel. Okay? So you can pick up. It's just like in this room right now. There's all kind of radio waves floating through this room. But you can't hear it. But if you got the proper equipment to tune it in, you can hear what's already being broadcast in this room. There's television waves, UH waves, all kind of different waves floating through this, tidal waves, whatever, that are floating through this room. All right? But how many of you hear them? I don't. But there's things that are in this atmosphere. You cannot see it. But if you have the proper machinery, the proper equipment, you can hear and you can pick up what is being broadcast. So when you listen to this inward witness, this when you begin to pray in other tongues. See, I have to say this because that's who I sat under. But Brother Hagin, again, my spiritual father taught, he goes, 99.9% of the direction I got in my life and my ministry over a 50-year period, he said, it came to me while I was praying in other tongues. Are you kidding me? Yeah, he said 99.9% of the direction that he got in his life and his ministry. You know, his ministry impacted the globe. Okay? Impacted our lives. Many, many other hundreds and thousands of people, even to this day. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now for his obedience. It's just amazing. Okay? And sitting under that anointing and that teaching. But I learned early on through his ministry that we've got to take time to wait and not down. That's why people that downplay this praying in tongues stuff and waiting for the right moment, waiting for the right emotion before you speak in tongues, you don't have to wait for any of that stuff. You can will to pray in the Spirit any time of your life. Especially you wake up in the morning. Your body don't want to do that kind of stuff. But you can wake up in the morning, you're phoning home, man. You're going right home. Glory to God. And, your connection to God. And then he begins to speak to you. Okay? Now, this last scripture, I want to look at Isaiah 55 here, and then we'll let you go here. But in Isaiah 55, verse 12. So the inward witness is the number one way that God leads all of his children. But there's another word that we can throw in there too that would, it would be the inward peace. Peace. Or a velvety-like feeling. Matter of fact, next week, you will have in your possession, every one of you that doesn't have one, we're sowing into your lives Kenneth Hagin's book called How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. If you don't have that, next week, you can pick it up, okay? And we're going to buy a bunch of them so that everyone in this room can get one of these things, all right? But Isaiah 55, 12 says this, for you shall go out with joy. That's a good way to leave church today, amen?
Yeah.
How many of you can be happy when you leave church today? Don't look like you just left the funeral. Where are you going? Oh, I just came from church. No, we can go out of here with joy. And be led, notice this, led forth with what?
Peace.
The Bible says in Hebrews, is it Hebrews? I think it is. It says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that Hebrews? Mm-hmm. Is that it? Okay. The kingdom of God is not what we eat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He says, I'll lead you. You'll go out with joy and you'll be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you and the singing. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Amen. But notice this. You're going to go out with joy and you're going to be led forth with peace. Glory be to God. We have this peace on the inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. When we were endeavoring to start this church, July 11th, we'll be here 4 years. We started this new church right here. Our minds were thinking something else. We were going to do something else in a different area and so forth, you know. But the Lord said, no, you're not going to go back there and you're not going to go to the usual where you had church before. You're not going to do that. I thought, are you kidding me? I'm thinking, all right. Well, the inward witness, the inward peace, said, I want you to start a church here in this area. Okay? And the Lord showed me. He said, no, Keith, right now, you're close to the Pittsburgh airport. He says, every highway runs from every direction. All right? The highways run from every direction into this place right here. He says, I want to put a church right here in this area. Hallelujah. That wasn't spectacular, but it was supernatural. Amen. And I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm here. How about you? We haven't seen the half of what God's going to do in this place out here. But I'm telling you, there are multi-hundreds of people, yea, thousands of people, that the Spirit of God is going to touch in these last days. I'm talking from here on, not like 10 years down the road. I'm talking right now. Thank you, Jesus. Where He wants to touch families and people. And you know how many people are out there that are just broken and just messed up and just beat down and discouraged? And I mean, the devil's had a heyday for years in some of the families and the people in this area. But I'm telling you, there's coming a wave of restoration. There's come a wave of divine healing and emotions of people where the light of the gospel is going to shine into people's hearts and give them supernatural hope. God's going to start using the people in this body to reach out to those people as they come in. And as God gives us, enlarges our territory and our place, that we can accommodate more people, which He's going to do. Amen. For what purpose? So that the anointing of the Holy Ghost can show up and minister to people and touch them. You know, speaking of that inward witness, a few weeks ago, the Lord told me this in my spirit. And I never knew this before. I never saw it like in this light before. He said, Keith, he goes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit has no purpose outside of people. I said, okay. He said, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not to make you look more fancy, to make you show off, to make you look like a bigwig. That's not what the anointing is for. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is for the purpose of helping human beings. Amen? And so when we understand the purpose of the anointing is, you know, not to be all fancified and all this kind of stuff. You don't get a big head. You know what I mean? And that's happened through the years. And that's why we have to always give glory to God when God does things. And God uses us. We always, always, always have to give Him the glory for what He does. All right? You lay hands on someone and they get healed or some cancerous tumor falls off of them, we got to give God the glory. We cannot take that glory unto ourselves because we're not the healers. But that anointing is for the purpose of Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The anointing, yoke destroying, burden removing, power of God was upon Jesus to remove burdens and destroy yokes and to set people free. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Masikia. So, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Makia sokana makisha shishiakaso. You're wonderful, Lord Jesus. You're wonderful. Thank you, Father. You're going to notice from today on, you know, that there's going to be a new sensitivity in your heart to the leadings and the direction of God in your life. And what was previously a frustration to you is going to be lifted from you. And you're going to know, I'm telling you, you're going to know of a surety in your heart. In every situation, you're going to know, I know what to do. I just know what to do. Praise God. Because the Holy Spirit's there. He's so faithful to show you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Pat. Good, sister.